This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. If the new federal health care law stays law, in a few short years, more than 30 million Americans who do not currently have health insurance will have it. Any number of recent studies show that the U.S. already has a shortage of primary care physicians. What's going to happen when tens of millions more people can afford to seek out regular medical checkups? Who'll treat them? And if you're one of the lucky ones who can currently afford doctor's appointments, will a crush of increased demand affect your ability to get care? Some of those recent studies suggest nurse practitioners could be a key part of the solution. So what is a nurse practitioner? What's the public attitude toward them? Under what circumstances might you be well served to see one? Just some of the questions we'll be addressing this hour. And as always, your perspective is welcome too. Our conversation begins right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Nurse practitioners are our focus this hour. Have you ever consulted one for a healthcare concern? If so, how'd that work out for you? Have you ever turned down a chance to see a nurse practitioner because you were determined to be treated by a quote-unquote real doctor instead? Willing to share your thinking with us on that? 888-WMRA-TALK is how to reach us by phone. That's 888-967-2825. On Facebook, you can find us listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Later this hour, we will be consulting with a health policy researcher who has written extensively about the future changes coming to America's health system. But we begin with three people here in the Insight studio right now. Nurse practitioner Margaret Upton is president of the Shenandoah region of the Virginia Council of Nurse Practitioners. She is also director of health services at Eastern Mennonite University. Nurse practitioner Peter Hill is founder and executive director of the Elkton Family Clinic in Elkton, Virginia. And medical doctor John Stauffer is a family physician based at the New Market Health Center in New Market, Virginia. Thank you all for making time for us.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Welcome.
Well, Dr. Stauffer, starting with you, if I may, you've been supportive of nurse practitioners and the nurse practitioner movement for many years now. You've employed them on your staff in the past. I'm curious, what do you think many people ought to know about such practitioners that you suspect they may not know, John?
Well, I think you would start by saying that the nurse practitioners and physician assistants are going to be here. We are going to be utilizing them, or they will be utilized more and more in primary care as well as in support staff for different physicians in different specialties. And that I think the general population will be best served by realizing that a primary care provider is one that is able to listen and to care and to be competent and honest in their interactions, and I think the nurse practitioners can do that as well or sometimes better than a physician. They may have more time in some instances, and that one of the concerns is knowledge base, but I tell you, I think that I've forgotten most of what I've learned in medical school, and I think just experience is the best teacher, and it's something that the family docs are just not going to be able to see everybody, as you've mentioned, and I think we need to be able to feel comfortable with the providers that are there.
I think that as Dr. Stauffer was talking, nurse practitioners are able to see patients in primary care and will continue to do that. And I think that one of the value-added things that nurse practitioners really appreciate about practice is the ability to spend time with patients more so and work with them on prevention aspects, which is one area of our educational background, working on health promotion and prevention. As we look to chronic illness as being a predominant problem in our healthcare arena, working on prevention and health promotion is going to be key. And I think nurse practitioners will lead the forefront in that.
Gotcha. This is Pete. You know, one of the things that's certainly been brought up, not only is prevention, I think, vitally important, I think just the ability to be present, I think, is also something that can't be overstated. When we start looking, and Tom did a wonderful job on his introduction, talking about just the national shortage we're finding in physicians' primary care. We're finding fewer and fewer physicians entering into primary care. We're finding that those that are there are hard-pressed to due to regulations that are in place, as well as some declining income. We see numbers of them leaving. And we also see here in Virginia, not only do we have a shortage per se, but there's not only is there a vocational issue, there's also what I call a locational issue. We don't have enough physicians. And those that are there, there's many places in Virginia that are very much underserved. So nurse practitioners, certainly in one of the, I guess, founding visions back in 1965, was actually brought together by a physician and a nurse. And their focus and certainly their thought was trying to increase access to care. And I think that's one of the nice things about the three of us sitting here at the table. We're seeing Dr. Stauffer and his wonderful graces with this, his collaboration with what we're doing in Elkton and the 4,700 patients that we've seen on our panel, and what Margaret's doing over at the college. This, in many ways, is one of the models that we're looking at nationally. There's certainly other models, but this is certainly one we're seeing here in our immediate area.
Pete Hill, you've been a nurse practitioner for how long?
I've been doing this for about 7 years.
And you were a nurse, an RN, before you became a nurse practitioner?
I was, yes. I am actually a pediatric nurse by background and training. I did not for about 15 years.
And so what is a nurse practitioner, and how is that different than being a nurse? How is it different than being a physician's assistant?
Gotcha. I can answer one of those questions much more cognizantly than I can the other.
Well, we got help here.
Certainly when you're starting about what a nurse practitioner does, nurse practitioners at the heart of who we are and what we do are nurses. That is our background. That is our training. That is, if you will, the root of who we are and what we do. Nurses are all nurse practitioners are registered nurses, and we all have advanced training in diagnostics, medicine, that sort of thing. Prescription is what I should say. But our specific focus is acute, minor acute illness, if you will, is our mantra, minor acute illness and stable chronic disease. About 80% of what walks into a physician's office encompasses those two aspects. And so a lot of what we do is focusing after just that, again, minor acute illness and stable chronic disease. And our background and training, certainly focused in nursing, incorporate an awful lot of stuff that is seen traditionally as medicine.
So, Margaret Upton, same question to you then, in case there's some overlap here between what Pete just warned us he had some expertise in and other areas that he didn't. What is a nurse practitioner? How is that different than being a nurse? And how is a nurse practitioner different, if they are, from a physician's assistant?
Okay, I'll try and clarify that a little bit. Nurse practitioners have, as Pete said, we are registered nurses. We have a bachelor's degree in nursing, and we go on for advanced education at the master's level. So
a nurse practitioner has a graduate degree.
We're master's prepared.
Yes.
Has at least a master's degree.
Correct.
And there are, in fact, now doctoral programs in nurse practitioning, but we can talk more about that later.
Just to confuse
So basically at least 6 years of education in nursing and advanced nursing.
And then after you get the master's degree, you also get some sort of certificate.
All nurse practitioners do get certification. They have to sit for certification exam, similar to what a physician would sit for their specialty area as well. I'm a family nurse practitioner, and so is Pete.
I'm a family nurse practitioner. Yeah.
And in addition to being the kind of nurse practitioner that the two of you are, that there are other categories of nurse practitioner, much like there are other categories of physician?
See if we can name these.
Yes.
I guess you have adult.
There's adult.
Pediatrics.
Women's health.
Psychiatric.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forgetting one. Holy cow. We're in trouble.
Acute?
Acute care nurse practitioners, yes.
So is that somebody who might work in an emergency room?
Well, actually, emergency room or in the hospital on the floor.
Is there geriatric?
Geriatric.
There is geriatric, yes.
Thank you.
And pediatric.
And pediatric, correct.
Got me, Dr. Stauffer. You want to chime in here about what it is a nurse practitioner does or doesn't do? Maybe what the difference is between a nurse practitioner and a doctor?
Well, I was looking at no one's answered the physician assistant and the nurse practitioner differential, and I think that I see, at least in this area, I see the physician assistant more as a triage person in a lot of the specialty clinics. They speed up the time there as seeing people initially and then triaging and helping surgeons, for instance, in the operating room and so forth. And I believe that physician assistant cannot write prescriptions. Is that correct?
No, they do write prescriptions. Yeah, they do write prescriptions.
Physician's assistants and nurse practitioners can write prescriptions?
Yes, sir. And this is the part, I guess, I said where I didn't feel entirely comfortable answering. I would think a PA would do a much better job of being able to discuss their scope of practice. But physician's assistants and nurse practitioners, by and large, have a great deal of overlap. Some of the differences have to do with what I was initially talking about as our background and training are as nurses. Physician's assistants, background and training is very much on the medical side, if you will, which has got some slight differences as the patient may see them, but differences nonetheless in the way we approach perhaps patients. Again, I'm talking in generalities, so you can't make too many specifics of that. But that's be the, I think, one of the differences between the two.
I think one thing in speaking about that for lay public, in the medical model, it's more on a diagnosis and cure, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Stauffer, whereas in a nursing theory and background, it's more on care of an individual in a specific health situation. So looking a lot at the psychological, sociological aspects of care, family dynamics, that all plays into the nursing theory and participation. So it's more on a care than a cure model.
So, Margaret Upton, why would somebody see a nurse practitioner instead of a doctor? And do people resist seeing nurse practitioners when they expect to see a doctor?
I think you, to answer your last question first, I think those who do not know what nurse practitioners do and what they can do, a lot of people do not want to see a nurse practitioner if they think they can't get a prescription. Because if they're coming to a primary care office and think that they have a condition that needs treated with a prescription, they're going to be resistant to seeing a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant versus a physician. But I think some of that is just educating them what they can and cannot do.
Is part of the reason that some of this is difficult to talk about is because there's different standards in each state for what a nurse practitioner can and cannot do?
Well, that's very true.
And in Virginia, do I understand correctly, medical doctor John Stauffer, that nurse practitioners have to be under the supervision of a medical doctor?
Yeah, I believe that's true. And I think it's just aversion to change to some extent. I have a gentleman at the nursing home that every time the nurse practitioner goes in, he thinks I'm sending my nurse in. And it's just kind of, I think that the people have to recognize that will get the same care and sometimes and not infrequently better care because of more time spent. A lot of people say, if I'm going to spend $125 seeing, at an office visit, I want to see a doctor and not a nurse practitioner. And I think that that's simply just ignorance of what type of care that can be given.
Well, I'm sure I'm bound to insult somebody here, but would it be okay to think of a nurse practitioner as sort of physician light?
I'm not sure if I'm insulted or not.
I'm not insulted, no.
Nurse practitioner can do about 80 to 90%, did I hear you say, John Stauffer, of what medical doctors usually do in their family practice?
I think in family practice, most of what we see is done, it can and is done by a nurse practitioner.
We have a health policy expert who's going to join us when we get back from this break. I realize I'm probably being repetitive here, but I'll risk it. 888-WMRA-TALK is our phone number. 888-967-2825. Nurse practitioners, our topic. Got a question that's not yet been asked and observation to add. 888-WMRA-TALK by phone. On Facebook, you can post to us where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Joining us now by phone is a University of Virginia health policy researcher who also heads up that university's health policy program and is co-author of the book Healthcare Half-Truths, Too Many Myths, Not Enough Reality. Carolyn Engelhard, thank you so much for making time for us.
Sure. Glad to be here, Tom.
Well, Carolyn, much of what you do involves trying to get a handle on where healthcare trends in the U.S. are headed in the future. So I wanted to ask you, what role do you see nurse practitioners having in the years ahead?
I think as far as nurse practitioners go, it's a growth industry, both because of the shortages that all three of your panelists discussed earlier, the shortages of physicians. We're looking at a shortage of 16,000 docs today, primary care physicians today. That's only going to increase to over 20,000 in the next couple of years. We have an aging population. Only one out of five medical students are going into primary care. So there's just that shortage. And then you overlay on top of that some of the priorities within the new healthcare reform bill that will really emphasize prevention, health promotion, coordinated care, keeping people out of the hospitals. And there's just going to be so many opportunities for advanced practice nurses and nurse practitioners in the years ahead.
Carolyn, I understand you were listening to the previous few minutes that we talked before you joined us here, and we were trying to clarify for people who are not particularly familiar with what a nurse practitioner does, what such a person is, and how that differentiates from a nurse or from a physician's assistant. Is there anything that we should add to that based on what you heard said?
Well, I think... I can't remember if it was Dr. Stauffer or Margaret who mentioned this distinction, but I think it's one that, I think PAs, physician assistants, are trained more in a medical model, and by that they're more focused on diagnosis and treatment of a specific disease. I think nurses in general, and nurse practitioners in particular, are much more concerned about the health of the individual. Now, we know that...
Wait. Explain that to me.
Okay.
If I go into somebody who's trained in a medical model, mm-hmm. Aren't they supposed to be concerned about my health?
Yeah, but health is much bigger because we know that what affects health status actually has very little to do with medicine. What affects health status has much more to do with your behavior, your lifestyle, your educational level, your socioeconomic status. All of those things affect whether you have high blood pressure, diabetes, much more than just whether or not you go to the doctor when you're sick. And so, for all the PAs out there, they're wonderful and they do a great job, but their training is more about medicine and about treatment of disease as opposed to preventing disease and keeping people well.
We talked a little bit in the first segment about the resistance that some people have to seeing a nurse practitioner, even if that means that they're going to have to wait longer to get in to see a doctor. They'd rather see a physician. And medical doctor here in the studio with us, John Stauffer, has told us that he's run into this a number of times. In the surveys that you do in your work and looking at the trends across America in attitudes towards different medical modalities, Carolyn Engelhard, do you run into much of this, that there are some people who just don't think a nurse practitioner can give them what they need?
Well, I think that's changing. I think the Norman Rockwell physician image is changing. I think patients nowadays, and I think the research would bear this out, really just want access to care. I mean, when Massachusetts passed their law providing universal coverage, The wait time in emergency rooms doubled. You couldn't get in to see your primary care physician. Mass General had to put 16 more beds in their emergency department, and they staffed them with nurse practitioners. So I think what's happening is that people, I mean, medicine, it's just so expensive. I think affordability is a big problem, and I think more and more families and workers and others are saying, I just want to be able to get care when I need care. And if that means I'm going to go to a community health center or I'm going to go to, you know, a freestanding clinic staffed by nurse practitioners, then that becomes their primary care provider. And I think those once those relationships are made, I think it's much less important to patients these days about whether there's an MD after the name or a nurse practitioner.
Sure, and this is Pete. You know, one of the things that we certainly found out there in Elkton when we started that little clinic just about 4 years ago, as folks have come back and certainly gotten quite used to what we're doing, we're enjoying not only seeing folks back, but certainly people referring their friends and their family. There are some studies that have been done looking on outcomes, and it's, of course, people's eyes start to roll in the back of the head when we start talking facts and figures. But very famous study Mary Mundinger did one at University of Rochester back in 97, I think, replicated it in 2000, if I'm not mistaken. She looked not only at outcomes, but also on patient satisfaction. And certainly study after study, including hers, bears out that generally speaking, once a person establishes that relationship that Ms. Engelhardt was talking about, that oftentimes that's perhaps the nexus of prevention as well as ongoing care. You know, I think folks who have that access to care that they find acceptable and that they also find accessible have a tendency to continue to go back. And we see certainly the improvements in health following it.
Let me see if I understand what you just said, Peter.
Sure. That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
No, I just, simple mind here, right. can use all the help I can get. Translated, if you try it, you'll like it. That even people who were hesitant to see a nurse practitioner instead of a physician, once they did, they found out that it was something.
There's actually an anecdotal story, and I don't know the names, which is probably just as good. There was a local legislator who was visiting with a nurse practitioner and actually did not realize that was a nurse practitioner until it kind of came out later. Now, we don't hide who we are, and we certainly talk about it, but you'll be surprised how many times people are actually seeing nurse practitioners walk away very satisfied with their care and get better and by all markers of health, and later on find, oh, that was a nurse practitioner. Well, they did all right with that.
The other thing that I might add is, and I think it's unfortunate in, as far as the family doc is concerned, but our scope of practice is getting more narrow all the time. We are seeing less and less pediatrics, less and less gynecologic cases, doing less office surgery. You know, not too many years ago, family docs were given anesthesia and doing minor surgeries and so forth. And so the difference between a nurse practitioner and a family doctor is narrowing, whether we like it or not, as people take their kids to the pediatricians and the surgeons do more and more of what we would have in the past done in the office.
I think another thing related to terminology of seeing a doctor, physician, I think what Carolyn was saying about access to care and being seen is important, but you also have to think about the media. One thing we find is that if you look at all the advertisement for medications, it says, see your doctor, and nurse practitioners are prescribing those same products. But the layperson is thinking, okay, I need to see my doctor. So when they see somebody who can prescribe, be it a nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, or a physician, they're thinking that's their doctor. And as Pete was saying, we're not hiding who we are, but it's sometimes hard for people to understand that we're not an MD. We are a nurse practitioner.
But if I need drugs, you can help me.
Well, but to them, you're there, quote-unquote doctor, you're their provider. And not many people say primary care provider, even though we try and stress that.
Right. Tom, directly to your point, yes, we do prescribe medications. That's a common issue I think we find among people coming in. I think that one of the something Ms. Carolyn was certainly focusing on, certainly the three of us would very passionately feel about, is again, improving people's access to care. That's what the three of us sitting at this table work very hard together to do. We are perhaps a collaborative model, and you find that, as Dr. Stauffer was talking, some of the changes that are going on not only in his primary care, what we see certain nationwide within and in region within what nurse practitioners are doing, we're seeing a greater collaboration between what physicians and nurse practitioners are doing. And sometimes it's not so important as a distinction. It's the important that people can have their health care met from a group of folks, each one who's doing what they're duly capable of doing.
Nurse practitioner Pete Hill from the Elkton Family Clinic is one of our guests. Margaret Upton, the nurse practitioner who heads up the Health Services Center at Eastern Mennonite University, is another. Also with us, family practice Dr. John Stauffer from Newmarket, and with us by phone, University of Virginia health policy researcher Carolyn Engelhard. Her latest book is titled Healthcare Half-Truths, Too Many Myths, Not Enough Reality. I'm Tom Graham, by the way. This is Virginia Insight. And to you who are listening, when was the last time you went to see a doctor? How satisfied were you with the quality of care that you got? Are you concerned that quality might somehow be different if you went to see a nurse practitioner instead of a medical doctor? By phone, you can reach us at 888-WMRA-TALK. That's 888-967-2825. On Facebook, find us listed as Virginia Insight. I thought I heard enough of a little bit of a breath there, Carolyn Engelhard, on the phone line, that I was guessing you had something you wanted to add.
I think it was when Dr. Stauffer was talking about the limiting the more and more of what family docs do. I was just going to mention that particularly is true now because more and more hospitals hire hospitalists. So many primary care physicians don't even follow their patients into the hospital anymore. And it's a little controversial subject about whether or not that's good or bad. From a health outcomes perspective, the health outcomes tend to be just as good, if not better, if you have physicians see you in the hospital. All they do is see hospital patients. But from a patient-physician relationship perspective, it may not be so good because if you're sick and you're vulnerable and you're a patient, what you really want to see is your trusted healthcare professional coming in to see you and not necessarily a stranger. But so it was only to mention that, again, primary care providers, physicians, don't do what they used to do, which is a little bit of everything.
All of you, I think, now have said something about if you see a nurse practitioner instead of a medical doctor, there's a good chance that healthcare provider that you're seeing, known as an NP, is going to give you more time than if you saw an MD. Why?
I think there's probably two reasons that immediately come to mind, and that, of course, is a generalization. I'm sure there's cases in which it's much different from that. One is certainly our background. Nurse practitioners, generally speaking, again, we were referring earlier to our background and training. Just by nature, that tend to take a little bit longer with folks. The other aspect that comes to mind is that, certainly with us trying to do some of the things we're doing, first point, it takes more time to do that.
I was going to say, I think that is the goal. I mean, we want to work with patients on long-term responses to their illness and how to manage that, which does take more time. However, speaking of that, there's a lot of nurse practitioners who are in managed care settings that are given quotas of time and numbers of patients. So even though our background is such that we want to spend time, that isn't always the reality, unfortunately.
And that's actually one of probably the bigger issues that I think nurse practitioners end up facing is that we're not medical doctors. We're not trying to supplant what a medical doctor does. You're not going to hear come out of most of our mouths, in fact, any of our mouths, that we're just as quote-unquote good as a doctor. That is not the message. If that's what anybody's taken home from this, they're sadly mistaken in not hearing what we're saying. But the what we certainly do as nurse practitioners is akin to what a physician does, but certainly in the time that we're taking and what we're trying to accomplish with the outcome with the patients.
888-WMRA-TALK if you want to talk with Pete Hill, John Stauffer, Margaret Upton, and or Carolyn Engelhart. Lynn in Harrisonburg, thanks for using that number and calling in. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a comment that's two parts. The first comment is I am fortunate enough to have a doctor nurse practitioner as a sister-in-law, and I'm very, very proud of her. Just her wealth of background that she brings and knowledge on all the subjects has encouraged me for the last 15 years to never shy away from visiting a nurse practitioner. I feel that I get a little bit of a mama's love, somebody who cares a little bit more and is looking a little more long-term into my care, as well as...
And you said this was your daughter-in-law or your sister-in-law?
My sister-in-law.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, and she's actually a professor and promoting more nurse practitioners. And the shame that I see is now that when I schedule and they ask if I'd be okay with a nurse practitioner for either my children or myself, the time is still just as short, and it's a shame because they are my advocate to go and then confer with the doctor and perhaps find the best solution for each individual case.
And so, was there another point, Lynn, or were those the two?
No, those were the two. So go nurse practitioners, physicians, assistants. I love y'all.
Thank you so much for taking the time to share your perspective. We've got one line open now at 888-967-2825. If you want to join the conversation as we look at the work of nurse practitioners and how their work may be changing as our healthcare system changes in the future. Next, we go to Becky in McGackiesville. Becky, thank you for joining us. Your question or comment, please.
I just wanted to say that I actually had a nurse practitioner for a primary care physician for many years, and just cannot say how wonderful the experience was. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she became very much more involved with me as a person as opposed to a patient, if that makes any sense at all. And she actually went out of her practice to go actually into teaching, which is good for some people. It wasn't so good for me because it took me forever to find anyone that I was happy with, because after the nurse practitioner experience, I really could not find another nurse practitioner in my area, and I couldn't find a physician that I felt met my needs the way that she did. I finally did find actually a doctor who did, so this isn't, you know, saying anything bad about doctors, but I would say a doctor who was much more like a nurse practitioner to a certain extent. But my understanding, too, and I could be wrong about this, is in a lot of ways that nurse practitioners receive a lot more updated training because of their certification, that they do have to continually keep, say, taking classes, going to school, that a lot of other, say, doctors, that's not necessarily required. And I don't know if that's true, but that was kind of an understanding, if the physicians could speak to that.
Well, you, Dr. John, have a big smile on your face, and you're doing something with your hands that I didn't understand what that gesture was.
We do actually, if you're board certified in family practice, we have continuing medical education requirements, and we take certification exams every 7 years. So it's
and nurse practitioners do also.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody's required to do that. Remain current.
Becky, thank you so much for your call. Leslie in Elkton, you'll be next when we continue here on Virginia Insight. So to you listening, does this scenario ring any bells? You have family members now spread out all over the country. Some have been seeing the same physician for decades, long enough that you can expect that this particular family doc is now thinking about retirement in the near future, and your relatives are worried about what they're going to do when their primary care physician stops seeing patients. What would you advise your relatives to do? Do nurse practitioners factor into your thinking at all? 888-WMRA-TALK is our phone number, 888-967-2825. Or if you prefer to type instead of talk, you can reach us on Facebook with a post. On Facebook, we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Always good to hear your voice whenever possible, though. So could we go next to Elkton and Leslie, please?
Yes, I just wanted to comment on what an enormous difference Pete and his clinic have made in the Elkton community. I just know a whole variety of folks who have dropped out of the medical system. You know, they'll take their kids to the doctors in the case of an emergency, or they'll go to the emergency room, but that they're not involved in preventative care. And when something comes up, you know, they'll say, well, I think I'll go talk to Pete about that. And, you know, I can't quantify the difference that's made in terms of health care costs, but I do know that that level of care and concern that they can always turn to Pete when they've got a medical question has just made an enormous difference in the lives of people here.
Leslie, that was incredibly kind. Thank you for your kind words. We actually have a whole staff of people out there at the clinic who work very hard. One of the things that I think we're most proud of, not only since we founded a clinic, we can do what we want. We do have 20 to 30 minute periods, so we do take a lot of time with folks. But we work closely and collaborate with a number of different agencies, including hospices, and we have a local counseling, the Center for Family Marriage Counseling, Elkton United Area Services Board, folks like that who we're very involved. We'll actually still go out and do home visits with people who can't leave their homes, like I said, with hospice in particular. Saw a gentleman last week who was bedbound, not on hospice at this point, but just a lot of folks who otherwise would be amiss and not able to get some care. You know, so again, thank you. That's always humbling when somebody calls in with kind words.
Leslie, thanks so much. This on Facebook from Elizabeth, who says, I prefer a nurse practitioner for my primary care. They tend to know about my concerns and are easy to ask questions of, and I don't feel so rushed. If they see something off, there is no hesitation to bring in a doctor or another consult if it's necessary. John, are you feeling like people don't love their doctors like they used to? Now they love their nurse practitioners instead?
No, I can handle that. Pete definitely is a minor deity, Elkton, but I think a lot of that's true. I mean, how many of us have heard people complain to their specialists saying that they come in for 3 minutes and they don't really act like they're listening to them, you have to at least pretend that you're interested in the patient for them to be happy about what's happening.
Right,
but
yeah.
I've had the pleasure of working with good nurse practitioners, and it's, you know, I have no qualm about seeing. In fact, I basically have a nurse practitioner as my primary care physician myself. So.
Yeah, and we can't say it enough. I've said it once. I'll repeat myself and say it again if we have to. This is certainly not a form in which we're at all discounting what a physician does or trying to supplant our role into that of a physician. It is truly a collaborative model. I call Dr. Stauffer on a regular basis. Nobody truly works independently. And when something comes up, he's always kind and willing to share what he knows about a situation. So we do what we do, and we're able to do it because of folks like Dr. Stauffer.
Carolyn Engelhard at the University of Virginia, I don't know if this is a question for you or not, but this just came in on Facebook from Steve, who asks, how does nurse and doctor care differ between normal hospitals and magnet hospitals? Do nurses at magnet hospitals play more of the traditional nurse practitioner role? And I'm tossing you that, Carolyn, because I don't even know what a magnet hospital is.
Right.
I figure maybe you do.
Certain hospitals get recognition as being magnet hospitals if they meet certain quality metrics. I don't know exactly what all of the criteria are. I think that nursing at the bedside in an inpatient is varied. I think you've got your registered nurse at the bedside. I think most hospitals now are trying to have most bedside nurses be RNs. I know we have a new bed tower at the University of Virginia, and that bed tower is going to be staffed a lot with nurse practitioners. So you see the distinction.
I'm sorry, did you say bed tower?
Yes, yes. What,
could you explain that to me, please?
Well, they wanted to add more beds to the hospital, and so they just added a kind of a tower to the front of the hospital that provided more beds.
No, Ms. Carolyn, I'm going to defer to you on this. I was preparing for the show, and was looking. I understand that I guess it was maybe 5-10 years ago that the Department of Neurology started using acute care nurse practitioners over there, and they've been quite pleased not only by some of the enhanced outcomes that they've seen with nurse practitioner involvement, not only with patient outcomes, but also their statement of satisfaction, but also a very true cost savings. Is that something you can speak to? Because that's all I know after that.
Sure. Well, I mean, it makes sense. You think about it. Nurse practitioners are paid less than physicians. But
is that the only difference that you find? I mean, certainly one of the arguments we'd say that nurse practitioners are certainly paid less, but there's other outcomes that I think nurse practitioners effect with cost savings that go beyond just the fact we're paid less.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. It has to do with coordination of care and keeping things from becoming so acute and managing disease and those sorts of things. I don't know specifically what's happening in neurology. I do know that I was giving a talk once to some residents, and before I began my talk, the training director came in and was explaining to the residents why they were going to have nurse practitioners staff some of these new beds because there just weren't enough residents to go around, and it was sort of a supply and demand issue. And I think it's worked out just fine. What I see with younger physicians, I have residents who rotate with me every month to do a health policy elective, and what I see and my daughter's in medical school and I teach medical students, and what I'm seeing with younger physicians in training is that, you know, they just don't seem to have the same kinds of issues with that perhaps we think of traditionally between physicians and nurses. That is, as Pete mentioned and as Dr. Stauffer mentioned, as Margaret mentioned, it's much more of a collaborative model. It's much more teamwork. It's much more everyone working in their capacity as part of the team and patient care. It's not really about turf issues anymore. It's about patient care and how best to do that so that you keep patients well, so that they don't go into acute episode after acute episode. And that's where you really spend a lot more money, is that revolving door in and out of the hospital with patients that have multiple comorbidities.
With us by phone is University of Virginia health policy researcher Carolyn Engelhardt. Here in the Virginia Insight studio, Margaret Upton, president of the Shenandoah region of the Virginia Council of Nurse Practitioners, Pete Hill, also a nurse practitioner, as well as executive director of the Elkton Family Clinic in Elkton, Virginia, and John Stauffer, a medical doctor who serves as the family practice physician at the New Market Health Center in New Market, Virginia. Well, which is also in Virginia. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. We've got only a couple more minutes to fit more phone calls in, and we do still have a couple lines open, but we're going to go right now to Farmville and Jen. Jen, probably I should back up and tell anybody who just tuned in that they want to call in. The phone number is 888-WMRA-TALK. Now, Jen, your question or comment, please.
My comment is this. I am I'm a registered nurse in an emergency department. I'm also a nurse practitioner student, and I work with nurse practitioners in the emergency department. They tend to run our fast track session, and
say?
That is the part of the department that's dedicated to lower acuity patients, so people who are not as sick. And I think it's really important to have a good nurse practitioner. I think we have so many nurse practitioners who were registered nurses. They have great clinical eyes. So when we talk about the fast track, that's a part of the department we want to run quickly. We want those patients in and out. But we also need someone with great clinical eyes who can really stop and say, whoa, wait, this patient is sicker than I thought to begin with. And we have so many great nurse practitioners practicing right now because they were registered nurses for so many years. I think the value of a great nurse practitioner just cannot be discounted, especially in this day and age of productivity and wait times and all of these financial things that are being pushed on us as providers. I just have the privilege to work with really great nurse practitioners, and I see the value of them when they do make a call, when they say, wait, this one's sicker, let's get the doctor in here, let's put them to the different side of the ER.
I think your point there is very good, and I think that goes back to what we were saying about our educational background and that we are all registered nurses, and that training and that experience goes with us as we practice in advanced practice and in our nurse practitioner roles. We definitely are nurses first.
Jen, thank you so much for your call. Going back to you, health policy researcher and director of the health policy program at the University of Virginia, Carolyn Engelhard, you're as familiar as anybody I know, Carolyn, with what's expected to be coming down the pike with the Health Care Reform Act that is slowly going into law. Some of its policies have already taken place, but do I understand, Carolyn, that the lion's share of them come into effect in a little bit more than 2 years, in 2014?
Right, yeah. That's when the individual mandate goes into effect. That's when the health insurance exchanges roll out.
And is it between 2014 and about 2019 that all of those additional millions of people who don't currently have health insurance, that the lion's share of them will begin to get health insurance?
Correct. So half of the 30 million will be through Medicaid expansion, and the others will be those who are currently uninsured now, who will be able to get health insurance. So there'll be lots more people who need primary care, who will need to be seen. Right now, 1 out of 5 Americans have inadequate access to primary care. So you can imagine what a pressure it'll put on the system when we add 30 million more people. And Medicaid is a problem because Medicaid is such a poor payer. We already have lots of physicians who won't see Medicaid patients. So for Medicaid, it may be a real problem. But as far as the health care reform bill and nurse practitioners, I think it's a very rosy picture for the nursing profession. Everything about the health care reform bill is about moving from volume to value, to move from a fee-for-service system where you just pay healthcare professionals to do things, moving much more to measuring outcomes and having people coordinate care and manage care and be rewarded, actually, for doing a good job of managing care and keeping people out of the hospital. And I think, you know, primary care physicians and nurse practitioners in the community are the folks that are going to do that. In addition, there's money that's being thrown as well. There are $30 million allocated to train additional nurse practitioners. There's $15 million in the bill for nurse-managed health clinics. There's school-based clinics that have been written in. So there are lots of pieces of the healthcare reform legislation if it isn't repealed or cut. Because if they need to take the money elsewhere, there are lots of pieces in there that will support community health and nurse practitioners.
Yeah, Ms. Carolyn, I've seen different estimates, and I think I'd be interested in knowing what you'd say. Just here in Virginia, I've heard anywhere between 300,000 to 450,000 Virginians will be added to the rolls like you're talking about.
Exactly, in Medicaid. We have about 1 million people on Medicaid in Virginia now. Virginia's Medicaid program is pretty lean. We don't cover low-income parents. If you're a childless adult in Virginia, you can be destitute unless you're disabled unless you have a medical issue. If you're a childless adult, you could be destitute. You could have zero income, and you will not be eligible for Medicaid. So for those states like Virginia that have very lean Medicaid programs, there will be many more that will be eligible under the new rules, and we anticipate up to 400,000 Virginians will be newly eligible. And if you think about it, that's a 40% increase.
Let me put a shameless plug for her her book real quick, too. The book that she's recently released has probably got one of the most even-handed approaches for folks who would be on both sides of the aisle, if you will, between people who are very much in favor of the initiation of the healthcare law and those who are against it. She does a wonderful job. So for people who are listening to what we're talking about, they would do well to pick up that book, written in very easy to understand layman's terms.
So we should mention the title again, Health Care Half-Truths. Too many myths, Not Enough Reality. Did I get the subtitle right, Carolyn?
You sure did, and I thank you all. I didn't expect that, but I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
We do our homework, ma'am.
So, Dr. John Stauffer, in the 30 seconds we've got left, you're one of those doctors who's been around for a long time. And within the next decade or so, you're probably going to start to think about retirement. The patients who are seeing you now who might be resistant when they can't see you anymore to seeing a nurse practitioner, what do you want to say to them?
Well, I would say that, obviously there will be options out there, and I think that you need to consider the possibility, if the nurse practitioner is available, that they will give you as good or better care than I've been able to do, and I think that you need to go with that. And I work for RMH now, and they are hiring nurse practitioners and physician assistants. I think they've got 18 hired so far, and they are working in that area as well. They have a lot of the primary care clinics now in the area, and I think this is something you're going to be happy with.
Our guests have been Director of the Health Services Center at Eastern Mennonite University, Nurse Practitioner Margaret Upton, Executive Director of the Elkton Family Clinic, Nurse Practitioner Pete Hill, Family Physician from the Newmarket Health Center, Medical Doctor John Stauffer, and with us by phone, University of Virginia Health Policy Researcher and co-author of the book Health Care Half-Truths, Carolyn Engelhardt. Thank you all so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.